Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. Today I'm super thrilled because I have Sabina Nowatz together with me. Hi Sabina, how are you?
Hi Greg, doing great.
Thank you very much for joining the podcast, and we are going to discuss about your latest book, You Are the Boss, Becoming the Manager You Want to Be. Thank you very much for accepting the invitation, and as usual, my introductions question. Could you please introduce yourself with the 2-3 key highlights of your career?
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation, Greg. A couple of highlights from my career. My first career was in computer engineering. So my degrees are in computer science, electronics, computer systems engineering. I worked in Microsoft for about 9 years in software development. And then switched careers into HR, where at Microsoft, I was responsible for the company's leadership and management development for 11,000 managers and about 1,000 executives, and also worked on the succession planning process for the company. And the last 20 years, I've been working by myself on my own in a consultancy where I coach CEOs, give leadership keynotes and workshops, and of course, write.
Thank you very much for this introduction. And I am always keen to ask this question. Which are the values that drive your professional career?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, Greg, is hard work. That is a formula I have used since I was a child. In fact, one time I was working so hard at my desk on my homework and my exams in school that I smelled this sort of burning smell. And I thought, what's going on? And we had lost power, which used to happen a lot. So I was studying by candlelight, and I realized that my hair was burning in the candle, but I was so absorbed working that I hadn't even noticed it. So hard work is definitely one. And I have a really high bar, and so excellence is a value of mine. You could say that sometimes also gets me into trouble because then I'm too much sometimes in the details or wanting every single thing to be shipshape.
Thank you very much for sharing your values. And I think they are well linked also to your book because you put a lot of energy in your book, creating this outstanding book, You Are the Boss, Becoming the Manager You Want to Be. And also now, before we kick off this discussion, in the pre-discussion and introduction, I'd really recommend to the audience to buy the book, have a look at it, and follow Sabina on all social medias that you can get really great insights. But now let's really kick off the discussion. And my first question is, how can leaders recognize when pressure and power quietly distort directions?
Yeah, the book really is aimed at managers or people who want to be managers who are already successful. They're highly successful. So you would think that they are well suited to knowing when things are going to derail. But unfortunately, there are three tenets in the book of how to not become successful, but remain successful. And they're based on what they don't know, because successful people know a lot. And the three things are that getting promoted can be the riskiest time in your career. It's not power, but pressure that corrupts you. And then power distances you, blinds you to the effect of your corruptive behavior. So to think about how to offset that, as you're asking, Greg, this combination of power and pressure is the higher up we go, the more pressure we have. The more pressure we have, we start reacting instead of thinking through things. We might get more short-tempered, impatient, tread over people unkindly. And because we are in a position of power, no one will tell us that. So asking for feedback, just general feedback, is going to be pointless because no one will tell you. There are a few questions I have at the end of my book that people can answer to look for signs of trouble. But here are a few that are a shortcut, a subset of those. One would be, that nobody ever disagrees with you or shares a new idea. You're the only one who's coming up with that idea and everybody's praising it and nodding their heads. That's a sense that power has distanced you. You've opened up what I would call a power gap. Another would be that you're working harder, longer, showing more initiative, coming up with all the agenda items than everybody else combined. That's a sign that you've fallen into what I would call a pressure pitfall, where you've taken it all on yourself and consider yourself the sole provider of all answers and all initiatives. A third one would be that suddenly, after being promoted, you seem to be funnier, smarter than you know you are. So you haven't changed, but people are laughing harder at your jokes. There again, there's a gap, there's a power gap because of which you're getting distorted reality. And the last one I would say is when you answer a lot of questions with yeah, but this is an especially busy time of year. That's why I'm doing the sole provider stuff. Yeah, but I lost my patience, but this is a really important project. So when you find yourself justifying those corrupted behaviors that you're indulging in through high pressure, then it's likely that you're in trouble territory.
Then I think it's quite clear what are the next questions. You spoke about the power gap. Let's double click on that and understand. Yes, I understand. And I'm not saying yes, but yes, I understand what you're saying. There is a gap. How can successful leaders understand that they have these issues? How they can really feel? Because they're, as you said, they are really focused on doing this and doing that. People are laughing. People want to talk with you. And then how can you feel that you have this issue?
Mm-hmm. I think the answering the questions that I just talked about will give you a clue that you are in that power gap. When you ask for feedback and no one gives you anything corrective, they're just saying, yes, boss, you're great. You're doing wonderful things and praising you and lathering on more praise on top of that. Those are some clues that you are in a power gap, that you've stopped receiving the truth from people, especially the things that are not going well.
And what can then the leaders do against that?
Right. That is the big question, isn't it? Right. And there are a number of things, but the first one I would say is talk less. What I mean by that is when you talk in a position of power, in a position of authority, everybody else quiets down. No new ideas will come up because no one will want to disagree with yours. And there'll be no space for it because you're, again, this book is for successful people. You are used to having successful ideas. You're used to being right. So you also barrel ahead as though your idea is the idea. So instead, I encourage people to exercise what I call their shut up muscle. And that has a few steps. One, to be at least the third person to speak. Not the first, not the second, ideally the last person, but if you cannot hold it, be the third person to speak. That's one way to grow your shut up muscle. And you might discover that those first couple of ideas are great and you don't need to be as involved and you can take one more meeting and therefore some extra pressure off of your shoulders. Another way to exercise your shut up muscle is to simply ask more questions of curiosity of the other person. So you could say more, just two magic words, and let that person speak to what that means, how they've thought through this, what approach did they use, instead of you jumping in and dictating an approach for them to use. Those are just a couple of ways. There's many other tactics to build up that shut up muscle.
Oh, that's really great. Let's go back with yes, but. Everybody knows that English is not my mother tongue, and therefore perhaps these mistakes are allowed because I'm not such a big, I don't know so many words. But I feel that a lot of successful leaders exactly use this word, yes, but. What should leaders do in order to avoid that? And what are your advice to them?
Yes, it's the change from but to and. So it's simply changing that one word. In the improvisational theater, there's this practice, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Greg, of yes and. And the idea in improv is you never yes but your partner. You accept whatever they're giving you. So in a scene, if two people are playing and the partner says, "You have ugly teeth," and you might say, "Yes, and that makes me the great wolf in Red Riding Hood." So you accept it. And in the world of work, it's no different. Instead of saying yes, but, what if you constructed a sentence starting with yes and? So instead of saying, "Yes, but this is particularly a busy time of year," you might say, "Yes, it's a particularly busy time of year, and such and such on my team had expressed a desire to grow and learn, and they're going to learn best during the busy time of year. They're going to learn best under pressure."
That's really great. Thank you for these advices. You said that you are working in this field since 20 years plus the Microsoft careers, and now you are coaching CEOs across the world. What's the most common leadership blind spot you have observed across top global organizations, and what's your advice related to it?
Well, I don't know if there is the most common, because there are many and they form different themes. I know this because I have about 12,000 pages of data from the interview transcripts of people I interview about what it's actually like to work for their boss. That's the backbone of the book. One of the common things that shows up there over and over again is this attachment to what I call the singular story, which is that point of view of the manager that becomes the point of view. And this, you can imagine, is by definition a blind spot, because I'm only seeing what's in front of me, not even potentially peripheral vision, let alone my blind spot. So buying our own story and not opening up to the possibility that there are many other ways to think about this issue, to tackle this issue, can lead to big blind spots and can lead to wrong actions because we've defined the problem incorrectly.
Thank you. I understand that you give these advices, but basically now let's go on being on the other side. Let's take the example of this successful manager, successful leader that gets promoted, the career continues. And the stress levels are increasing and increasing as the expectation, as you shared earlier. How can leaders effectively manage stress without compromising well-being and their performance? Because at the end, for some roles, there is only one place and not a lot of them.
So many of the CEOs I coach, we work on writing their job description, not the formal job description, but what are the things that you really do and spend your time on? And I encourage them to put self-care as number one. Now, what do they do? Each person does it differently, and we all know those things. So sharing those, I'm not sure, is super helpful, but their attention to sleep, exercise, diet, time with loved ones, time in gratitude, meditation, all of those things. You can name the gamut. Someone or the other is doing one of those things. The thing that cuts across all of that, though, is that they prioritize it and they block time for it. Most of them block that time first thing in the morning before everything else distracts them and the pressures of the day mount on them. And the best way to be successful is through micro habits. These are teeny, teeny, tiny habits, so small, so ridiculously small, that it would take more time to not do it and write down the yeah, but justification for it than it would to be to do it. So when I'm talking about sleep, meditation, exercise, all of that, it is simple, as it's as simple as you can make it. In my example, I can tell you that I have a daily meditation practice, and I used to struggle getting to meditation for a long time because I thought, well, I've got to sit for at least 10 minutes and it felt like forever to me. Now, I have a daily meditation practice which started with micro habits, and the micro habit was simply one mindful breath, one inhale and one exhale. Now, anybody can do that and you can claim victory. And when you claim victory with that, it creates a little bit of a dopamine hit. And then it encourages you, it excites you to try again the next day and the next day. So even to this day, some days my meditation session lasts for just one breath. And because I've strengthened that habit, I can some days do a 45-minute meditation as well.
Thank you very much. And it's really something that you are doing regularly.
Absolutely.
And how often are you rediscovering your why?
How often? In some ways, rarely, and in some ways, every single day, multiple times every single day. So there are times in the day where I will just pause and think, is this aligned to my why, to what I want to do or to what excites me? Or if I'm feeling particularly lacking in energy, thinking about why am I lacking in energy? Is it because my self-care is deficient? Is it because I'm doing something that's very divergent from my why and I really shouldn't have done it? Is it something that's divergent from my why, but I need to do it still? So I check in with myself from time to time quite regularly.
Thank you. And can you share also your why?
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated because it's been a journey to keep discovering what it is. For me, it's really about lighting up as many people on the planet as possible so they can do their best work and bring their best selves to their lives and to their work. And I start with CEOs because they impact so many people, because the pressures are super high for them. And if the pressures corrupt them, then it demotivates and screws up the productivity of thousands of people.
That's very good. And I think that's also why you wrote this book.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One thing that also I would like to discuss with you, it's what's one leadership habit managers should break immediately to improve their impact? Mm-hmm.
I would go back to communication because there's so many aspects of communication that can be a game changer one way or the other. And so the habit would be something around not listening and breaking that habit. So going back to that shut up muscle. Now, the not listening could come in many different forms. It could be that someone multitasks all the time, especially on video. It could be they interrupt a lot. It could be they just take up so much airspace that nobody has an opportunity to say anything. So depending on what flavor of not listening you're doing, you might need to deploy different aspects of your shut up muscle. I've already shared a couple of ideas there, but another idea would be to give yourself the task that by the midpoint of the meeting, you are going to have to paraphrase at least once. Now this gives you a homework, if you will, that, oh, I better listen because I need to paraphrase at the 30-minute mark in an hour-long meeting.
Thank you very much. Sabina shared with us, you are the boss, become the manager you want to be. The last question related to your book that I have is, where can we find your book?
Anywhere that books are sold. You can also go to my website, sabinanawaz.com, which, by the way, has links to the book, but it also has a number of resources that you can then download.
Thank you very much. And now we are coming to an end of this discussion. I named that a game. And in the extra time, I still have two questions for you. Coming back to my podcast, for example, in 10 years from now, what are we going to discuss at that point in time?
If I'm coming back, or the topics you're going to be discussing in your podcast?
You are coming back.
I'm coming back. Yes. Wow. Okay. I think I would want to discuss how the workforce has changed and how we need to lead through times where not everybody we're managing is human.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to this discussion, but also that you can share with us and with the complete audience that your book was a best-selling and you wrote additional books that help leaders continue to grow and help them growing in their careers.
Well, that's wonderful, Greg. I like that.
But then please come back to my podcast. Don't forget it.
Absolutely.
And now we are coming to the last question. Is Sabina's golden nugget? It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we're under pressure, we do things we're not proud of. I'm sure you've done some of those things. I certainly have. And the nugget I want to leave you with is that every action has a reaction. When you're a manager, you're not doing that in isolation. So you get a little snippy, it ruins somebody's week. And when it ruins their week, they then go ruin other people's weeks. So every action has a reaction. Do you know what your reactions are to your actions? How can you do less so that you can sense more and understand that?
Thank you. Then my reaction to this interview is really helpful. Thank you very much for your time. It was really great to have you on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. And thank you for the opportunity to discuss your latest book, You Are the Boss. I am quite sure it will be successful. Sabina, thank you very much for your time. Please stay with me. To the audience, for today, it's everything. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion. I really recommend to have a look at this book. You can find it, as Sabina said, everywhere. And in 10 years' time, she will be back and we will discuss about several books she wrote about this relevant topic. Therefore, stay tuned. Thank you very much and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.